Well, last week we started out this series on faith, not fear, and we started out by talking about staring down our giants. And we talked about how there's often this tug of war between moving forward with faith or retreating in fear. And we looked at how in the Old Testament the nation of Israel would often let their fears control them, leaving them stuck and lost out in the desert. And today we're going to be looking at dealing with anxiety and how our faith can help us from being dominated and controlled by anxious thoughts and feelings. And one of the most powerful ways of combating fear and anxiety is the reading and even memorizing of Scripture. That once Scripture is planted in our memories, it has a way of bringing spiritual direction and guidance and reassurance, especially when we face times of trial and temptation. The reading and memorization of Scripture, I think of it this way. Many times it's like a Teflon coating that keeps the garbage of this world from sticking to our souls. So today, I want us to read just a few short passages of Scripture and then just have them kind of sink in and soak in and saturate us. These words of faith are printed in your bulletin, so why not this week paste them on your refrigerator or put them on the mirror in your bathroom to remind you of the importance of living with faith, not fear. Now, the first reading is from Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. I trust in God and am not afraid. I praise Him for what He has promised. What can a mere human being do to me? But don't be afraid of those who threaten you, for the time is coming where the truth will be revealed. Their secret plots will become public information. From Matthew 10, 27 and 28, we read this. What I tell you now in gloom, shout abroad when daylight comes. What I whisper in your ears, proclaim from the mountaintops. Don't be afraid of those who can kill only your bodies, but cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body. From Matthew 5, 11 and 12, we read, happy are you when people insult you and persecute you and tell all kinds of false evil against you because you're my followers. Be happy and glad, for great is your reward in heaven. This is how the prophets who lived before you were persecuted. And on probably my favorite passage from the book of Philippians, from the pen of St. Paul, in chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, we read this. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you might speak to us through these words of faith and through the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Max Lucado has a new book out that's called Anxious for Nothing, and I really love what I've read of it so far. And Max Lucado writes that anxiety is like this low-grade fear, an edginess, a cold wind that just won't stop howling. It's not so much a storm as it is the certainty that a storm is coming. So you can't relax. You can't let your guard down. All peace is temporary, short term. And he writes this. He says, it's not the sight of a grizzly, but the suspicion of one, or two, or 10. Behind every tree, behind every turn, it's inevitable that it's just a matter of time until the grizzly leaps out of the shadows, bares its fangs, and gobbles you up along with your family, your friend, your bank account, your pets, and your country. There's trouble out there, so you don't sleep well. You don't laugh often. You don't see the sunshine. You don't whistle while you walk. And Lucado writes this: anxiety is a meteor shower of what ifs. I love that. Anxiety is a meteor shower of what ifs. Yes, we all know that planes will fall from the sky, that bull markets will turn into bear markets, that terrorists will terrorize, that good people will turn bad, that the other shoe will drop, the fine print will be found, misfortune lurks out there. It's just a matter of time. What if I don't close the sale? What if I don't get that bonus? What if we can't afford braces for the kids? What if my kids have crooked teeth? What if it keeps them from having friends, a career, a spouse? What if they end up homeless and hungry and end up holding a cardboard sign on the street that reads, "My parents couldn't afford to buy me braces"? Fear screams, "Get out." Anxiety screams, "What if?" Now, I want you to counterbalance this kind of anxiety that we sometimes feel with these words from Jesus found in the 6th chapter of Matthew. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more valuable to Him than they are? Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work to make their clothing, yet King Solomon in all his glory is not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God so wonderfully cares for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have such little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, "What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?" These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Father, Heavenly Father, already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and He'll take care of you. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Now, I think it is important to know and to acknowledge that it's normal. It's a normal part of the experience of life to have some occasional anxiety. And that there are times when extreme anxiety can be the result of psychiatric disorders that require medical treatment and often medication. And thank the Lord that we have doctors and scientists and we have the ability to treat these functions. But worrying about paying a bill, or landing a job, or a romantic breakup, or embarrassment in a social situation, or a case of nerves before a big test or a presentation, a realistic fear of a dangerous object or place, anxiety, sadness, difficult sleeping after a traumatic event, they're all pretty much within the scope of normal human emotions. But constant anxiety over unsubstantiated threats, avoiding social interaction, panic attacks out of the blue, recurring nightmares might be a sign that medical help is needed. But for the normal anxieties of life, behavioral scientists have identified a tactic to combat the anxieties that have been around since the day of Adam and Eve. It's called exposure therapy. And exposure therapy breaks this cycle by calling on you to clearly identify the source of your fear or anxiety and then slowly facing your fears by exposing yourself to them, at first with small steps and then gradually increasing the exposure. Let's take bike riding, for example. I might know something about that. Maybe as a child you had a bad experience riding a bike. You fell off, you skinned your knee, you ran into a tree, and so you stopped riding your bike. But now you go, you know, I'd like to give it another try. So start out with a stationary bike. Not much can go wrong on those, I don't think. So start out, maybe put it on a soft mat in case you fall off. Maybe put a helmet on. That might look a little silly, but if it helps you, that's a good thing. So get on the stationary bike and just start pedaling, maybe 5 minutes at a time. Then maybe next step, you find a safe place to ride, you know, short distance, maybe your driveway, maybe a cemetery somewhere, maybe have a friend run beside you. You could even get training wheels. They do make training wheels for adults. It's just you might not want to do that in your neighborhood because people might make fun of you and that would give you more anxieties. But with practice, you'll be ready to go around the block or do a mile or two on the Erie Canal and build up your confidence and your muscles, and then maybe you're ready for a century ride. Maybe. Well, a friend of mine in seminary, a guy by the name of Steve Wistoff, was an excellent, excellent biblical scholar. He was well-read in theology, but it wasn't until our second year when we had to take a homiletics course, which is the course that it's basically how to preach, and suddenly he has this panic attack that he's going to have to speak in public. Now, you might think it would have occurred to him, if you're a pastor, that you might have to do that sometimes. But apparently he didn't think about that. He just felt called, and when he found out that there was a preaching class and he'd have to give a sermon, he had kind of this deer in the headlights response. So our homiletics professor, a guy by the name of Bob Manelia, incredible guy, had him first work one-on-one with him on his sermon, go over it, present it to him, and then when he was ready to do it in a small group, and then he went through it with the class. It was a little bumpy at first, but he got through it, and the content was good, and he actually has become a very an effective preacher. He's still a social introvert, but he's found a way to overcome those anxieties and speak in public, and he's very effective in what God has called him to. So anxieties can be faced and overcome. And isn't it amazing how God can even use the anxieties and insecurities that we've had for his purposes? It kind of tells us that if we're willing to follow, God provides a way. So the people of the Old Testament, you know, had a lot to be afraid of. There were wild animals. There was illness, foodborne illness. That's the reason there were so many dietary laws in the Old Testament. There were wars and occasional earthquakes and floods and droughts and famine, death at childbirth, death by disease. And the world at that time felt infinitely more dangerous and less predictable than our world today. There are a lot of things that we have knowledge of today that they didn't know back then. They didn't have Doppler radar to tell them that a storm was coming. They didn't have computers to Google things and to find answers. But even with all that stuff that we have and all the advantages we have, we still have a reason to fear. We still have anxieties that we have to face. In the Bible, we can read these instructions. Do not be afraid. It appears more than 100 times in all of Scripture. These instructions were spoken most often in frightening or unnerving situations when Israel's enemies were attacking or when people were asked by God to step out in faith and do something that they feared. But that phrase, do not be afraid, is most often followed by these words. For lo, I am with you. Do not be afraid, for lo, I am with you. And those are words that we need to let sear into our thinking. It is not that we will not face storms, but that God is with us always, with no matter what we face. you know, our worst fears may actually come to pass. That diagnosis might be the very thing that ends our time in this world. But God is still with us, not just in the present, but in eternity. Think of the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Or think of the words from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the sea, though the waters thereof roar and tremble, through the mountains shake with the swelling. And then the word Selah, meaning rock, solid, stable. Don't fear. God is a rock, solid, stable. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this, but quite often our anxieties in life come from other people. Maybe you have a boss at work that gives you grief. Maybe it's your in-laws or your brother-in-law or your neighbor that just irritates the heck out of you. People say mean and hurtful things. Sometimes we say mean and hurtful things and need to apologize. And as we have noted many times, we live in the world where this kind of stuff happens, and we're not removed from its influence, and we're part of it, and it causes a lot of grief and anxiety. So we have to deal with relational messes. Jesus dealt with relational messes. And from our scripture reading today, here's what Jesus said about dealing with the relational junk that we sometimes have to face. Don't be afraid of those who can kill only your bodies, but can't touch your souls. Fear or respect only God, who has control over both. Or to put that another way, when it comes down to it, pleasing God rather than trying to please everybody else is really what matters. It really is. My sister had a very successful career with General Motors. She worked there as a summer intern and immediately after college was hired and worked there for 30-some years until she got a buyout and started working for Young Life, which is what she really loved doing. But I think it was about 6-7 years into her career, she had a boss that was a real piece of work. It was, for her, one of those Me Too moments. She endured it for about 2 years. And he demanded that she take part in activities that she determined to be both illegal and immoral. And she absolutely refused. And she was really afraid that she would be fired. But she found a safe haven in her faith. And in her trusted friends who held her up, prayed for her. And she had this verse that we read from this morning taped to her refrigerator. Happy are you when people insult you and persecute you and tell all kinds of evil lies against you because you were my followers. Be happy. Be glad. For a great reward is kept for you in heaven. Don't just endure it. Embrace it. Don't just endure it, celebrate it. Don't let it give you ulcers, let it give you joy. And I love how St. Paul writes about this when he's locked away in prison, not even knowing if his life is going to be spared. He goes, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about it. Anything, but in every situation, prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And here's the important part. It's all important, but underline this. And the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We live in an anxious world. We live in a time where it's hard not to be anxious. But learning the art of trusting God changes how we see and how we understand and how we live in this world. Spending time in meditation on Scripture, going to God in prayer, seeking wisdom and strength from the Holy Spirit, finding a safe harbor of trusted friends, help us axe the anxieties that are very real and present danger in the world we live. Because God doesn't want us to live with fear. He wants us to live with faith. Let's pray. Lord, we ask for you to speak to us as we face the anxieties of living in this world. Help us to find our strength in you, for you are our rock and our fortress and our safe place as we face the storms of life. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.